Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Bob has stated that he has no days free between now and Tuesday, but perhaps there are people that are interested in working on this before Tuesday. I mean, if it's a small group of people, they might not have to meet, like, in the evening when they might have other meetings, but they might be able to have an early morning telephone conference to hash it over, or a Saturday morning or something like that. So maybe there are people that are interested in meeting with the work group and meeting before Tuesday.
Well,
so
the
committee could meet on Tuesday.
If we want the meeting streamed, which I think would be a good idea because of the importance of this issue, no night is free before Friday the 31st. The proposed Tuesday is free on the spring calendar. Mr. Letter, were you proposing the second? I mean, the Tuesday, the September 4th, for the work group meeting?
Well, I wanted to. I could, but I just want to check first with the people who are interested as to whether that works for them.
Okay. Well, Terry is interested and available on that date and most dates. Who else is interested in participating in this work group?
I would assume that, hope that Henry would be, although he's not on the call. Is Jack still on the call?
Jack is on the call, but Jack is not interested in participating in the work group.
I was afraid of that.
I would sooner kill the amendment to the amendment.
Oh.
So, Mr. Letter, it's us. Shall we go ahead with Tuesday?
Yeah, that's fine with me. I'd like to just add to the motion when you said, can you read it back again, please?
What I have so far is a motion to form a work group empowered to consult with the moving directors to seek resolution of possible ambiguities in the proposed bylaws. Amendment. The work group shall include all committee members who choose to attend and will meet on Tuesday, September 4th.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Are you stating then that this committee will not attempt to meet again to approve that before it goes to the national board?
That's up to the committee if they're going to meet again. If the response from the directors is, yeah, that's a good idea, or shut your mouth, you know, then the work group's work is done.
Chair, this is Art Stasny, who has to leave the conference. Jack will amply and ably represent the PAW. So,
thank you.
Farewell all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's your motion, Mr. Letterer. Would you like rereading, or?
No, it's clear to me. I think it's fine as is.
Okay. I'll do a final reading if there's no more discussion. Motion from Letterer to form a work group empowered to consult with the moving directors to seek resolution of possible ambiguities in the proposed bylaws amendments. The work group shall include committee members who choose to attend and will meet on Tuesday, September 4th.
And I'm happy to convene the group.
The convener will be Bob Letterer.
Shall we say 8 p.m. Eastern?
Yeah.
Okay.
At 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Is there any objection to the motion to refer to this committee the proposal that I offered earlier?
A question?
Go ahead.
I'm assuming that the so that Henry and possibly Jane and anyone else who was involved in it initially or was not but cares to become involved can join.
Well, the language currently is the work group shall include all committee members who choose to attend. If we also wish to include non-committee members, we should state so now.
Carolyn?
Go ahead, Ms. Bird.
Yeah, my original suggestion was that whoever helped draft this in the first place, you only mentioned one person, Carol Spooner,
yeah.
and perhaps...
great outfit.
Excuse me. Teresa, could you mute yourself, please? Thanks. That perhaps Carol Spooner and anyone else that you had considered or would like to invite be invited, and that you be given that discretion.
Teresa is Pound 1, not Star 6.
Mr. Walker, do you,
Can you hear me?
Does the work group need...
Yes, it's Pound 1, Teresa.
I just did Pound 1, but I'll try it again.
Oh, that worked.
Yes, now that worked.
Ms. Letter, in your interpretation, does the work group need any empowerment in order to have guests on its call? It's a work group. I don't think there are rules.
I think normally it would be good to be specific about, you know, what guests can be invited or not, just to avoid misunderstandings later.
Okay, the work group shall include all committee members who choose to attend. And others invited by agreement of those present. How about that?
Well, by the time you wait for someone to be present, it might be too late. By agreement of those meeting, agreeing to meet. So you can invite in advance.
Well, we only know so far that Mr. Letter and myself have agreed to meet. But other committee members may show up on the call, and one of us might not. Yeah.
Terry, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Yes, is this your amendment, or did Carol write it and you're putting it forward? And or, I mean, do you know all the arguments involved with I presume that you know all of the arguments to back up the entire amendment. So, was this your thinking, or is this, can you enlighten us as to the role played? That would help us determine.
Well, I can give you a general idea. There was heavy correspondence between myself and Casey Peters and Carol Spooner regarding the ruling of counsel. And I sent out long messages identifying every ambiguous word in the proposed bylaws amendment at that time and got burnt out and tried to push Ms. Spooner and Mr. Peters into coming up with language. Eventually, I got language from Attorney Spooner and made only minor adjustments before submitting it to this committee. If I have more time, I might be able to resolve some of the objections raised at this meeting with additional grafting, and then maybe get the moving directors to agree. I'll have to accumulate my email that pointed out the dangers of the language as proposed for review by this work group.
Well, this is Bob.
Go ahead.
Yeah, since I didn't realize that Casey had been involved, I think it would be good to at least invite him to participate. I know he's extremely busy, may not be able to, but I think his input would be valuable, and I also think we should have our foundation counsel involved, again, subject to his schedule.
Okay, I'm trying to work that in. I'll put a period there.
I, I should say, for those who may not know, that Foundation Council did weigh in before the board voted back in June to set the notice date on this, on the current language. So he's already been involved in, you know, careful review to make sure it's consistent with the existing bylaws and so on. And we're at time.
Okay, let's see if this language works. Motion from letter to form a work group empowered to consult with the moving directors to seek resolution of possible ambiguities in the proposed bylaws amendments. The work group shall include all committee members who choose to attend. The National Election Supervisor and Foundation Council shall be invited to attend, and those present may agree to the participation of others. The work group will meet on Tuesday, September 4th at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The convener will be Bob Lederer.
That works for me.
We are at time. Is there any objection to this motion? Okay, the work group has been formed. The chair will entertain a motion to refer the item we were discussing about to this work group.
So moved.
Is there any objection to the referral?
So moved.
Hearing no objection, the work group is formed and the item is referred.
Sandra, KPFT.
Welcome, Sandra.
Hey, sorry I'm late.
6:37 p.m. Eastern Time, Sandra arrives. We're now going to item four, I believe. Let me confirm. Yes, item four, subcommittee reports. First, we only have one subcommittee. That's the Campaign Finance Reform Subcommittee. Ms. Burden, you are recognized. There are 5 minutes on this item.
I think I need about 30 seconds. We really had no resolution or motions to propose that I can recall. We discussed a great many things, but there were no resolutions. And I should do a written report, which I will do and send to the committee sometime within the next few days.
Is there further discussion of the subcommittee's work or questions or any items that would like to be referred?
Question?
Go ahead, Mr. Lederer.
I think I saw an email that the next meeting is this Thursday at 8 p.m. Is that
still? Yes, that's correct. We had set that at the end of the meeting. Thank you for reminding me.
8 p.m.
8 p.m. and it will be web streamed. Mm-hmm. I'll send out the notice probably on Wednesday.
Are we ready to go to the next item?
Thank you.
Without objection, we'll go to item 5A. Which is the Technology Follow-Up Committee. And if Ms. Williams is on the call, she has a proposal that can make this fall off of our continuing agenda. Ms.
Thank
Williams?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Williams is here. And yes, for the Technology Report subgroup there, the working group, the two items that were two action items were on getting the USB key and also the data input. And we heard a report from National Election Supervisor Casey Peters, and briefly we talked with him before the call was put on the stream. And Casey actually answered these questions when Jack actually posed them to him. So the position is that Casey is working on getting the USB key and the ballot input data. He has asked for information from from all of the committee members, and he had also visited with the programmer, and when he was up in the Bay Area, the person who's in Fremont, California. So that's the status of it, and also what I'll do is I'll just transfer this action item to Casey since he is working on this. Hello?
Yes, I'm trying to get that into a motion.
Okay. And basically that the motion is that we will transfer the action item from the committee to the National Election Supervisor to continue his work on these two items.
Okay, how does this sound? Resolve that the issues of the USB key for ballot scanning software and any ballot data from the prior election available from the prior National Election Supervisor be referred to the current National Election Supervisor for follow-up.
Very good. Couldn't have stated better myself.
Any discussion of this proposal?
Carolyn here.
Go ahead, Ms. Bird.
I just a point of information. What does exactly ballot data mean?
I believe that at least one, and possibly two. Let me go back to say that.
Please.
Normally, at the conclusion of the tally at a Pacific election, the data indicating the ranking of candidates on each ballot as sequentially scanned is available to the public on a CD-ROM, so that if they wish to, they can rerun the election with the available software and confirm the election results. In one and possibly two of station areas in the prior election, the data was not the ballot input data that you push into the software in order to get results was not provided, to the best of my knowledge. I think it just didn't get onto the CD that was provided. And then the National Election Supervisor left the country, and we haven't been able to inquire from him if he's got that data someplace in order to provide it for public posting.
Oh, so that is the issue that is being referred to the National Supervisor, the retrieval of the data and the posting of it, or
the former National Election Supervisor wouldn't be responsible for posting, but if the current NES gets it, he could post it for posterity's sake.
Right. Thank you.
Very good, Terry.
Any more discussion of the item? Is there any objection to this referral? So the motion is adopted. Is somebody saying, stopping me?
I hope not.
Okay.
Thank you.
And that completes then the work of the technology follow-up work group. And so if there's no objection, it is dissolved. It was an ad hoc work group. Let's proceed to item 5B, staff lists. Mr. Lederer.
Okay. This working group met last night in a streamed call. We had, in addition to the people who've been involved before from this committee and from the WPAI staff, and we also had a new group of representatives from the KPFA unpaid staff organization, because they just held elections in the last couple weeks for their council of representatives. So we had three representatives on that call. And one of the major discussions was about recent developments there, specifically that on August 13th, the interim general manager, suddenly, without any advance notice or discussion with the organization, and just for short form, I'll use the acronym, which is UPSO, Unpaid Staff Organization. He notified them that they had been, that their recognition, for which had been in existence, I think, for about 16 years as the official representative of the unpaid staff was being withdrawn, and that for purposes of determining eligibility of unpaid staff to vote in this coming election, that now KPFA would be considered to be under the second bylaws definition of unpaid staff, which is the one for stations that don't have a management-recognized unpaid staff organization, i.e., 30 hours within the past or over the past, the preceding 3 months. The UPSO representatives were extremely outraged by the arbitrariness of it and the suddenness and the fact that it came in the very last phases of the qualifying period for the election. And they protested formally, and then the LSB met subsequently and adopted a resolution with no opposition votes to condemn this and ask that the interim general manager reverse it. And so far, she has not acted. And perhaps, LaVarne might be the only person from KPFA on the call could add anything more from the local situation.
I recognize Ms. Williams, I'll point out the difference here, how it affects staff eligibility, is that the UPSO bylaws require that number of hours over the previous year. So those who had contributed labor longer ago got disqualified by this decision of the IGM. Ms. Williams?
Yes, thank you. I'm really not prepared to go in detail in terms of the results of the election, but I think that everyone is familiar with the issue that at the LSB meeting, a number of staff presented their argument in terms of feeling that the IGM, Lynn Riggio, had decertified the UPSO unpaid staff organization. And the LSB, the KPFA LSB, actually passed a motion in support of the staff, of the unpaid staff. And the motion was brought to the LSB by Anthony Fest, who's an unpaid staff there at KPFA. So the LSB passed the motion, and we did a roll call vote. And I guess I could pull that up and read that later. But the issue is that I'll have to give an update later on the exact information in terms of the count and the ballots on that. But the whole point is that the LSB voted with everyone supported the motion except for about five or six people abstained, and in support of the staff and the unpaid staff organization. So that's where we are with KPFA right now. And I'd like to report later, if there's time, on the count and the ballots and exactly what the final result was.
We heard on the call last night that there is up to about 111 individuals possibly affected by the decision. That's the rough count of the difference between the management list of those who qualify under the second definition and UPSO's calculation of its membership.
Right, and just in addition, on the LSB show today, that was the topic of the conversation also, was the whole attempt, what the unpaid staff believe is an attempt by the interim general manager to actually decertify their organization. And yeah, so this difference in terms of the IGM's list and the UPSO list, that will definitely be an issue for the election.
Is there another member who wishes to be recognized on this topic?
Yes, Carolyn here.
Ms. Burden, go ahead.
Yes, I was on that call, and I think it raises a whole can of worms, the difference between a management list and the staff list. The question of what constitutes an organization, for instance, at WBAI, there are people who are not on the unpaid staff organization committee or list, have stated quite clearly that they do not intend to be on that list, but the organization claims that all unpaid staff are members of that list, but when the list, the station list was published, there are a great many names missing of people who've been on the air for a long time and clearly are unpaid staff, but they are not on the station list without a management list. Well, I mean, they're not on the unpaid staff organization list, and without a management list, that leaves a great many people in limbo. So we don't have the situation of differences in two lists. We have a difference between a list and no list, members who are nowhere. So that is another issue that the National Supervisor is going to have to resolve. It's a dreadful mess. And I don't know if anyone has any suggestions as to how to resolve it. Excuse me.
Is there another member who wishes to be recognized on this topic?
Is Casey Peters still on the call, or
he's
I don't know how my question
unable
really
to
was,
rejoin.
My question was really how this is going to be resolved, and I don't see at the moment a resolution.
Mr. Peters was on the staff list work group call,
yes,
was he not?
He was.
Since the issue is in the hands of this work group, to the extent that work groups can be referred to anything, Mr. Letter, do you have Ms. Burden's communications of questions for the NES?
Yes.
Such that we could bring that up in the next work group meeting and
sure,
perhaps handle it that way. Mm-hmm. Is that satisfactory to Ms. Burden?
Well, I think it may be too late. I don't see any resolution that is not going to end up in a court challenge. There are several problems with the list. The list was posted very late, not August 1st, but the 18th. Members who are not on that list may not even know that they're on it because they don't stay in touch. Nobody communicated with them to tell them that they had to fill out a form that we know of. Or we don't have any word that every single unpaid staff member received notice that they would be disenfranchised if they did not either fill out a form or notify the management. I think that this committee perhaps should strongly urge the national supervisor to require management to contact every single unpaid staff member to make sure that nobody is inadvertently disenfranchised. Otherwise, I could see a court challenge to the entire election.
Does the member wish to make a resolution for committee consideration or work group consideration?
I think perhaps this entire committee should make a resolution to the national supervisor to require the management to contact every unpaid staff member at WBAI to ensure that they are notified that they need to.
Members are invited to construct language for a resolution. In the meantime,
hello,
the letter is recognized.
Okay. I just wanted to correct an inaccurate statement that was made earlier. The Unpaid Staff Organizing Committee, or USOC is the acronym, has repeatedly and in every possible mode of communication made it very clear to everyone on the unpaid staff by email, by notices up at the station, by copies of the form that they've created, that everyone is not only welcome to put forward their information about their time spent that qualifies them to vote, but also put in very strong language that this is the only way you will qualify to vote in the LSB election. You must fill out this form. The role of USOC is not a question of whether people like the organization and want to participate in it. It's the official recognized bargaining unit for all of the unpaid staff. So that is the vehicle under the bylaws by which people get their right to vote. And USOC does not make judgments excluding people. If people apply, and unless there is a challenge and that challenge is found through a thorough investigation to be valid, then they're on the list. And everyone who seeks to be and has done the requisite work will be on that list. And that's happened in each election beforehand. And there's no reason to think that it's not going to happen again. So this motion strikes me as completely unnecessary. because there's plenty of channels for people to participate. And as a matter of fact, there's a further safeguard, which is, although the list has already been circulated, I think, at least three times, as it's been growing, you know, until the deadline, there is, Casey announced last night on our call that there will be a period, and someone else can correct me if I don't have the exact dates, I believe from September 4th to September 15th, by which after it, the final list, or the I guess I should say the semi-final list, is posted at the station, that there will be a final opportunity for any unpaid staff person who believes they were not included to say, you need to add me to the list as well. And then, of course, they can ultimately appeal to the election supervisor if they're not satisfied with the outcome. So there's plenty of due process and notice and opportunity, and I don't think this committee needs to get involved. I don't see this showing up a problem.
Are we into the stack? I'm sorry. I thought you were done. Go ahead.
No, I'm done. That was it.
Ms. Roberts?
Okay. Well, first of all, the list was posted before the 18th. An updated list was posted on the 18th, and perhaps the member who made that statement saw that latest notice, which says this is what we have as of the 18th. There have been numerous notices, both physical notices generally posted at the station, placed in the boxes of individual producers, or rather the individual mailboxes of producers, as well as repeated announcements to the USOC mailing list, on the producers' listserv, on the staff notices listserv, and everyone who has not. So it's darn hard to miss, you know, whether or not you've been physically at the station. In addition, the definition of once you qualify as unpaid staff, you are automatically a member of USOC and entitled to all of the protections of our agreement with management. So it is not a matter of whether any individual producer subscribes to this or that vision or philosophy or any of that. That is completely irrelevant to whether or not you have met the definition based on your hours of work and are entitled to those protections. So there really is not any confusion here. If anyone, you know, is unclear about something, maybe they need to have things further explained to them. But the situation actually is quite under control.
Well, Carolyn here, if I may. I think there's several misstatements here. One is the USOC put out a form asking people to fill it out and saying that if they filled that out, they would be put on the list. So there's no automatic membership for this particular purpose. There may be for other purposes, for representation or whatever, but although that's questionable also, but there is no getting on the list automatically if you're a staff member. You have to, I understand what people were told, was fill out this form, which self-certifies. There's no validation of what people say they did, but nevertheless, there is a form. So not all staff members. Number two, a great many staff members have not heard about this. Either they don't know what's in their boxes, or they do not recognize USOC's right to tell them to fill out a form, and therefore have not deliberately responded. Now, you may say, well, they're disenfranchising themselves, but for an organization that claims to represent everyone and then to set up a procedure whereby people are disqualifying themselves seems a little bit contradictory to me. I don't know that the circulation of the list and this producer's list is not a legal list of all producers. It's a private list. It does not have, it's not the station list. Some producers have set up a producer's list, and those people who are on it are on it. A great many people are not on it. So we don't have any way of saying except word of mouth, and I've already talked to about five people who didn't know about this form, hadn't filled it out, didn't even know that the list was up at the station because they haven't been at the station. If they were, they didn't look at the one place on the wall where it's posted. So we we have a real problem here of people being disenfranchised by the very group that claims to represent all of them, whether it's inadvertently or not. But there's a real problem, and I see trouble ahead if, in fact, these people are not contacted. So I do think that we need to, this committee needs to do what we did. We passed a motion, PMB passed a motion, the ED told not one but two general managers at IGMs, at WBAI, to implement this motion and create a staff list. In management's hands, management ignored that those directives, and now we have a problem, a situation where some people will not be given ballots because of the way in which the ballot list was set up. And I'm simply urging that we, as a backup, that this committee pass a motion urging, requiring the national, asking the national supervisor to require the general managers to create a list immediately, not before September 4th, and at the very latest by September 10th, so that that September 15th deadline can be met.
Okay, let me explain the chair's dilemma. There are issues in discussion that are properly before the staff list work group. There are issues in discussion that are properly should be handled as appeals to election supervisors. And there are issues involved that are within the scope of the full committee. It would be improper for the committee to entertain a motion to, like, reaffirm the motion adopted by the PMB requiring management to create lists because that motion was adopted. What would be a proper action of this committee would be language for inclusion in the committee's report identifying management failure to comply with the PMB resolution in various station areas and describing the effects that that has on the current election or has had or seems to have had. And if a member, Ms. Burden, I expect, would craft language for the committee to consider for inclusion in the committee's report, that would be proper. Of course, this does not address the urgency of these issues coming up immediately before an election. And the committee is limited in what it can do with that. Ms. Burden has suggested a couple of approaches towards a resolution for consideration of the by the committee, most recently asking the National Election Supervisor to create a list immediately. But those proposals have not been in form that the committee can consider. If Ms. Burden could come up with language for committee consideration, we could come back to this item. But at the moment, let us continue discussion and see if someone can propose a resolution with specific language that the committee can vote up or down. Who requested inclusion on the SAC?
Yes.
Ms. Roberts, was that you?
Yes.
And Bob, and maybe you could ask someone to mute.
Well, I believe Ms. Roberts would have to mute, and she cannot speak when recognized if she does. So, Ms. Roberts, go ahead and try.
I think there's some confusion between a registration process and membership. Membership is automatic once someone meets the definition. Registration for the election requires that people update their contact information and also provide background for a record of their work. So those are two separate processes that should not be confused. Further, I can't imagine, I know that there are a number of things that the National Election Supervisor, as well as the Election Supervisor, are going to have to be involved.
Ms. Roberts, I'll have to interrupt you.
Yeah, I'm driving.
Ms. Roberts, from your current location, we cannot understand what you're saying.
Okay, let me try. From here. put your limit up, please?
You're still unintelligible.
Is this better?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ms. Roberts.
Okay. What did you catch? What were you able to catch of what I said earlier?
Actually, almost none of it.
Okay. I said there's a difference between membership, which is automatic, once one meets the definition in terms of the number of hours worked, and the registration process for the local station board election. We've asked that people get involved in updating their contact information and so forth. That is the registration process. I understood the member to say that she's spoken with all of five people. More than 100 people have already submitted their information, so I dare say that certainly the information has been getting out. In addition, USALC stewards will be in contact with, we've broken down the list of producers by program as well as by name of the individual staff, and folks who have not yet submitted their information have been getting calls. Part of that this past weekend was dedicated towards reaching out to people and reminding them of something that they've seen many written notices of. The listservs that are referenced, and there are two, there's one that includes management and one that does not, and they contain the email addresses of, I'd say, at least 85%, if not more, of the staff. So, you know, you can send a notice, and you can place a notice in someone's box. You cannot compel them to read it. You can make a reminder call. You can urge them to get their information in. And interestingly enough, many of the people who shall we say that differences, political differences, are not a bar to be registering. Having seen the registrations, that is not a bar. So whatever else, you can only do so much. At some point, individuals have to act for themselves. But in terms of the information being available and being well noticed and well publicized, it's everywhere within the station. And repeatedly, as you said, on the email list to which all staff have access. So that I think that the energies of the election supervisors might be better used than is currently being suggested.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts. We are at time for this item. It started at 6:44 p.m. Mr. Lederer was on the stack. But in order to continue discussion, we would need a motion to extend time, which would require a two-thirds approval. Is there such a motion? Wow. Oh, that was Serene muting. That's why it got suddenly so quiet. Unless I'm on the call by myself, the chair has heard no motion to extend time. And no motion is before us. So I propose we move on to item 5C, tabled motions on composition of staffless work group. At our last meeting, we left with a proposed substitute to the motion of Ms. Burden, and the committee must dispose of the substitute for proceeding to the original motion, and if they approve the substitute, it will take the place of the original motion. Ms. Gatewood's motion was as follows. Resolved that future meetings of the staff list work group be web streamed, and that efforts be made to broaden the input through public email lists. Ms. Gatewood is not on the call. Would the convener of the staff list work group care to address the motion for us?
Okay. Well, the last two work group meetings have been web streamed, and We've gotten the authorization from the national office to continue doing that. So that issue is pretty much moot. That's, as long as this working group exists, it will be web streamed. And as far as public email lists, I think that should be okay to be able to set something like that up. I'm personally not familiar with the process, but I'm sure someone can explain it.
Yeah, a Google group for this work group has been established, and Mr. Lederer has been made an owner of the group. But currently, the only members added are Mr. Lederer, myself, and Mary Berg. If the convener would like me to take over adding the other work group members to the work group, if he sends me their email addresses in a message, I can do that.
Sure, that's fine.
This is a work group that was announced to the committee before, and it is publicly readable.
A point of information.
And the committee could choose to. The committee can choose to make it publicly writable as well. I'm not sure of its current configuration. Ms. Burden?
Yes. What would be the difference between this and the PNB elections group, which is publicly readable? Between this new group, this proliferation of groups is a little bit dizzying.
The difference is that it would allow discussion of work group matters without involving a quorum of the committee. If a quorum of the committee is participating in discussion, it can violate the open meeting provision.
And that is different from the PNB elections group list? How? I think the same.
Right. The PNB elections,
there.
PNB elections list should not include discussion of committee business that might lead to the forming of a consensus regarding matters that should be discussed in public session.
I'd like to say I get that distinction, but I'm afraid I don't. It's must be a little bit later than I thought here.
Yeah, well, the idea on open meeting provisions is that the public should have notice of when their representatives are discussing matters that may be of their interest. And theoretically, they should be able to participate in public comment, which we haven't really enabled on our teleconferences. What happens if members are discussing in detail the items that are scheduled to come up before them in their public meeting? Is that they are, under the interpretation of the Attorney General of California, conducting business. And they're conducting business outside of a noticed public meeting. And that's a violation of the open meeting provision. So all of their actual business is supposed to be conducted at the times noticed to the public where that business will be conducted.
It's very difficult to maintain a list under that constraint.
Yes, it is. But that, as long as nobody knows that the entire committee might be reading a separate work group list, a work group can actually conduct business.
I see.
As long as the work group does not contain a quorum of the members of the committee, which is actually authorized to finally do the work. The work group can have detailed discussion of informing their proposal that is eventually going to go for committee consideration.
When, if you would define the work group online at any one time, not members of the list, must not constitute a quorum.
Well, it's not at any one time because an internet list allows for delayed posting and time shifting. It's all those who participate in the discussion, even if it's by private email, who are considered participating. And so if for example, the the whole stream of the workgroup discussion was forwarded to the main list, that would be a violation.
I see. All right, that's clear. Thank you, Terry.
So how are we going to dispose of the substitute motion, which is at least half moot?
This is Bob.
Go ahead, Mr. Lederer.
Yeah, I would have no objection to just adopting the substitute.
Okay. Is there any more discussion of the substitute by Gatewood?
I will agree to that.
Ms. Burden, I didn't.
I will agree to that, yes.
Okay. So the motion before us is to substitute for the main motion the Gatewood motion, resolved that future meetings of the staff list work group be web streamed and that efforts be made to broaden the input through public email lists. Is there any objection to the substitution? Hearing no objection, that is the main motion. Is there any objection to the main motion as read? Then the motion is adopted by the committee. At 7:16 p.m., past the time allotted. So we can proceed to the next item on the agenda, which is sum number D, membership lists, which is currently at 10 minutes. Ms. Roberts, I hope you're in a better position. I mean, a better location for your cell phone to work. But you are recognized, and I'll cross my fingers. Ms. Roberts is recognized.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Just briefly, the group has not met. I did poll the membership. I received no response, but I have been in touch with every GM and with Casey as well, and it's likely that we will be meeting tomorrow or the following day. And I'll post the time as soon as it's finalized.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, the meeting is noticed for when?
The meeting will be held either tomorrow or the following day. It will be posted as soon as it's finalized. There were a couple of attempts to pull the membership, including you, and no response was received.
Ms. Roberts, you are in an excellent location at this moment.
Unfortunately, I'm about to get out of the car, so that will soon change.
Okay.
So questions would be very good now.
Ms. Burden, you had some items you wanted to bring forward during this agenda item.
Yes, thank you. There are some problems with the membership list, and again, at WBAI, I'm not too sure how generalized these are, but one of them is that the several sets of sign-ups by the volunteers at WBAI have disappeared. And Casey sent me a list of the dates of the fund drives for which those lists have disappeared. This is a real problem because we have no way of getting to those members to tell them that, unfortunately, although they volunteered their time and signed up and did whatever they were supposed to do in order to get a membership, they will not be receiving ballots this time because no one knows who they are. So I suggested to Casey that they'll put out a cart announcing on the air that anyone who was a volunteer for those particular fund drives, which we have no data, contact the membership coordinator immediately. I haven't received a response to that, but I think that is a real issue because we need to get some protocol here, at particularly at BAI, but I suspect at some other stations too, for making sure that every volunteer is tracked The volunteer coordinator that was mandated by the PNB is hired and given a job to do and actually does it. So this is a real problem. And then the ultimate problem, of course, is management, again, has simply not implemented the PNB resolutions that were creating these lists. The disappearance of the list is very distressing. This is not the first time it happened. It happened a few years ago at BAI. So we have a bad history there, but it's particularly egregious this time because we know even it wasn't just one set, it was actually several sets of lists that disappeared. So I'm not sure what, again, to give the chair yet another dilemma, what our this committee can do, but I would like to ask if a motion would be in order urging the national supervisor to direct management to publicize this lapse and call people in to sign up before the deadline for their membership, or perhaps extend the deadline, since I just found this out yesterday, that last night, when Casey announced the dates of those membership lists that are missing. And this is what, the 27th? That was the 26th. The members only have 5 more days in which to update their membership. So I would like to see that deadline extended for the membership list and maybe for the staff list too, because of various reasons. And I think that's within our purview.
Yes. I don't have full language on it yet.
Stack.
And Bob, please.
I'm working on language, and I'll continue. Before I open the discussion, and Stack, would the committee convener like to respond?
Which convener?
I'll let Bob go first. I'm transitioning.
Mr. Lederer, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Oh, you meant Serene for the membership working group, because actually this came up on the staff list working group, even though it actually wasn't on that topic, but a question was asked to Casey about it, and that's when the information came out that Ms. Burden referred to. So today, actually, because this was distressing to hear, I did what it seems like some people don't have as the first instinct, which is to go and talk to the person responsible. So I was at the station. I spoke to the interim general manager, asked him about this report, and he made an inquiry, got back to me later in the day, and said that there's really just a very few days of records that are temporarily have not been located, but that the staff is working on tracking them down. They have a good sense of where they are, who has them. It's just been sort of a communication lapse to actually get those records back, and that he's confident that by the end of this week, the records will be in shape. So before we go assuming there's a crisis, you know, I think as a general mode of operating, it would be good to talk to the person who's directly responsible rather than a secondhand report. However, you know, well-intentioned, it's always better to go to the primary source. So I don't think this committee needs to do anything. I think Casey and the local supervisor are well aware of what needs to be done, and they've been in dialogue with the interim general manager, and if there's more problems, I'm sure they will devise whatever is needed, an extension of time, or, you know, they're on the case. I don't see why our committee needs to intervene. It strikes me as micromanaging.
I would feel better, if I may, hearing that from Casey, who actually reported the missing sheets. I assume he got his information from the supervisor, from the membership coordinator, since he's in that office, situated in that office. So now we have two conflicting reports on the status of these lists. Perhaps what we need is some firm data from someone who actually has seen the missing lists.
This is Jack.
Go ahead, Mr. Van Aken.
I'm leaving the call. Good night, all.
Okay, 7:24.
I'm sorry, I missed who that was.
Oh, Jack Van Aken.